As you know, I've been doing a series that I entitled Details, Details, Details. We're all aware that details are important in life, and if we're going to fulfill God's purpose and plan for our lives, then we've got to be not only aware of details, but we've got to pay attention to them. And as with anything, as Solomon wrote in Song of Solomon, you know, about the little foxes that spoil the vine, if we neglect to pay attention to details, it can cost us. And so this is another message in that series. I think this is message number 4. But I want to begin with 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And I want to approach this subject from a little different viewpoint. I've shared some of these things before. And if you're sitting there and you're thinking, wow, I've heard some of this before, well, that's good. Sometimes you need a reminder so that we can keep things fresh in our consciousness, and that'll enable us to practice things more consistently. Details are important. But 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and I want to focus in on just a few verses, but I'll begin with verse 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5. Of course, Paul the Apostle writing by the Holy Spirit to the church at Corinth. It was a Gentile church, and a lot of these people had come out of some really, really strange and powerful bondage, if you will. Many of these men that were part of this church in Corinth had formerly worshipped at the temple of Aphrodite or Venus. Thank you, sweetie. And it was a very demonic worship, if you will. And so now he's writing to these people, and he says some things that we want to pay attention to. But notice verse 5. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Now, I want to focus on that 7th verse. But Paul is writing in this context that he and his ministry team were given a treasure, and through that treasure they were able to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with these people at Corinth and enlighten them to what Christ has done in His redemptive work. And it is a powerful revelation. But he talks about the treasure from which this information flowed. And he said in verse 7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power, that word power is the Greek word dunamis, miracle-working power, may be of God and not of us. Now, we know that Paul the Apostle was gifted, that he had an impact on the known world at the time. He still has impacted us to this day. But I want you to know that each one of us has been given gifts, talents, and godly abilities. Notice that I said godly abilities. It's one thing to have natural ability, quite another thing to have godly ability. And so each of us has a treasure, a deposit that's on the inside of us. But we have to understand that that treasure resides in an earthen vessel. Now, the word earthen here is a Greek word, ostokrinos, and it literally means something that's frail, that's fragile, that can break easily. Now, that's not to say that we need to live our lives from a weak vantage point or from a physical standpoint that we consider ourselves to be weak and frail and fragile, but rather that we have this glorious treasure, this supernatural ability that God has placed within human flesh. And so we have a responsibility to protect that treasure, that gift, that talent, that godly ability. And all too often what happens is people don't experience the fullness of the grace of Jesus Christ that He wants to express in them and through them simply because they don't take care of the vessel that the treasure resides in. Now, this became really pertinent to me when I was a teenager. And as I've often said, you've heard me say it before, that when I was 12 years old, I gave my life to Jesus. was baptized a few weeks later, and then my mother really messed me up. Took me to a Catherine Kuhlman miracle service. And when I walked in the door, I felt the presence of God. The only problem was I didn't know what it was. I had no idea what it was. I never felt anything like that before. What is this? And it was so strong and so heavy, if you will, it was almost like you could cut a chunk of it out and take it with you, but you couldn't. And for all those many years after that miracle service, I always knew in the back of my mind, there's more to God than what you know. There's more to God than what you know. And it was a powerful treasure that was within that little woman. And she always referred to this verse, we have this treasure, this gift, this deposit in earthen vessels, that the excellency, the power may be of God and not of men. We often miss it when we leave God out of the equation. When we have that godly divine ability on the inside of us and we think it's us. Or we think it's because we're so smart or we're so talented or we're so gifted. Your focus should never be you. Your focus should always be others and Jesus. Amen? We should esteem others better than ourselves and focus on Jesus. And I don't care what talent, what gift, what godly ability you have, you need to focus outward, not inward. When you focus inward, things are going to, the train, this is an expression that I have, the train is going to leave the tracks eventually. Now, do you know what happens when the train leaves the track? A wreck, a train wreck. Now, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so we have to protect what God has deposited on the inside of us. Now, how do we do that? Well, the Scripture gives us a lot of different instructions. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, I'll just touch on one of them briefly. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we're talking about details. Everybody say details. Details are important. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And it's just before Timothy. And let's look at one verse, verse 4. 1 Thessalonians 4:4 says this, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Now, what does he mean, possess his vessel? He's talking about this earthen vessel that we all live in whom the Holy Spirit dwells, where there is deposited a special treasure. Every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Now, I love teaching the Word because it gives me an opportunity to explain things. And many times, if we're not careful, we throw around terminology that Christians may understand, but unbelievers certainly do not. One of those words is sanctification. What is sanctification? Now, that was a term. I was born again when I was 12 years old, grew up in a denominational church, and I didn't know what sanctification was. And so I came around Pentecostal folk, and they used the word a lot, especially when they testified, I'm saved, I understood that. I'm sanctified. I had no idea what they were talking about. And I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. Well, I sort of learned what that meant. But I didn't understand the sanctification part. I actually thought sanctification was some special grace that God sort of, and I'm sorry, this was my thinking, zapped you with, you know. And I thought that if you live right and did the best that you could and didn't sin, God would sanctify you. And I thought that sanctification meant sort of like you were simonized or freeze-dried or something like that, and that meant you couldn't sin. Well, I soon found out that wasn't the case. We have a rich spiritual treasure that's deposited on the inside of us, but we can blow it. You with me? Now, I was going to do an illustrated sermon this morning and break a vase, but I thought, nah, I don't have to do that. You know, if I put something valuable or precious inside of a vase made of clay, I have to be careful how I handle that thing. Because if I were to stumble and fall and drop it, it could break. And what happens to the good stuff on the inside? It's ruined. And there are many people, listen to me, there are many people who have never expressed the grace of Jesus Christ that's on the inside of them because they didn't handle that earthen vessel properly. Now, sanctification means this, separated, set apart for a holy purpose. It doesn't mean freeze-dried or Simonized or any of those things. It simply means that you're separated unto God and set apart for a holy purpose. Now, when does that happen? That happens when you receive Jesus as your Lord. When you're born again, the Holy Spirit separates you unto God and sets you aside for a holy purpose. Now, when He does that, He places in your life gifts, talents, and godly abilities and a spiritual treasure. It's up to us to protect the body that houses that spiritual treasure. So how do we do that? Here's part of the instruction. Every one of us should know how to own his own vessel or possess his own vessel. The word possess there literally means own it. I like to think of it like this, own your flesh. What does it mean to own your flesh? That means you're in control. You decide what your body does and doesn't do. You have enough spiritual sense in your life to set limits and boundaries and exclude some things. Why? There's a treasure on the inside that you have to protect. And you can't handle that vessel any way that you choose, because if you're not careful, you'll ruin what's inside. Are y'all following me? And so each one of us needs to learn how to own our flesh. Now, I often tell people that many times it starts with little things. How many of you know your body has a voice? And there are times your flesh will speak to you very, very loudly and clearly. And many times when your flesh is talking to you, you understand and realize that this is not coming from heaven. This is certainly not coming from the Holy Spirit. I often tell the story. I remember once when I was going to Bible school, working in the convenience store, and I made a mistake. I rang something up for this little guy on a Saturday morning. And you got to remember, I'm working the night shift. I'd been up since 10 o'clock the previous night. I'm about to get off. The other shift is there. We're ready to change. And I'm tired. And it was on a Saturday, so I didn't have to go to Bible school that day, but I had gone to class the day before, went home, got some sleep, got up. And so Saturday, I'm looking forward to getting home, spending time with my wife and son. My girls weren't born yet. And so I rang something up. It seems like a little insignificant thing. Rang something up for this fella. And I remember looking down at the guy. He was shorter than me. And I rang it up, and I rang up the wrong price. It was supposed to be a certain price. I rang up $3.49. I said, that'll be $3.49. And I never will forget what he said to me. He said, it's on sale for $2.99, dummy. And all the guys who were standing behind me stopped and turned around and watched. Okay. Now, here I am, born again, saved. Got the spiritual treasure on the inside of me. And I heard these words. One shot, you can take him out. That's what I heard. Now, that was my flesh talking to me. And, I looked at this fella, and I'm serious. I heard these words. One shot, you can take him out. Now, I know that didn't come from heaven. I know that wasn't the Holy Spirit. That was my flesh. My flesh was tired. He had insulted me in front of some guys who were standing behind me. And what happens? Your flesh wants to react. Hey, here's a revelation for you. Write this down if you don't remember anything else that I teach you this morning. You will never get to the point in life where you can completely trust your flesh. Never. Everybody say never.
Never.
It ain't gonna happen. Your flesh is not redeemed yet. Now, Jesus has purchased through His redemptive work healing and health for your body, but we have to constantly stay on top of this thing, because if you're not careful, your flesh will get out of control. And that's exactly what he's writing about to the saints, believers in Thessalonica. And so you got to stay on top of it. I often tell the story about a young man who was in a church, and he's struggling with some issues with lust and things, and so he goes to an older man who's in the congregation, who's about 90 years old, and he said, sir, I admire you for your character and your strength and your, your love for God. Could you help me with something? The old man says, yes. He said, how old were you when you stopped being attracted to the opposite sex? And this old man looked at him and said, you're going to have to ask somebody older than me. He was 90, but he wasn't dead. Are you with me? You never get to the point in life where you can completely trust your flesh. So part of our responsibility, or one of the little details that we must pay attention to, is you got to own your flesh. You're the boss. You tell your flesh what to do and when to do it. Are you with me? Now, if you can control your flesh in little areas, then it's much easier to control it in big areas. Are you with me? So when you go to the buffet this afternoon, and you have that one piece of carrot cake, and your flesh says, let's go back for more. Exercise control. Own your flesh and tell your body, no, one's enough. Seems like a simple thing. Well, it should be a simple thing. See, now listen, if you can't do that, how are you going to control something else? Must have a lot of carrot cake lovers in here this morning. I got nothing on that one. I like one preacher always says, I ain't got no help, you know. Well, I don't say that because I do have help. He's the Holy Ghost. Amen? Well, if you can't say amen, say, oh me. All right. Turn with me now to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I done sat here and preached you guys hungry. That's what I did. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Talking about details. Own your flesh. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And we're going to look at just a couple verses. And let's drive this point home. One of the details that we need to pay attention to is to protect the treasure that God has deposited on the inside of us. Notice verse 19 and 20, 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. What? Know ye not, or don't you know, that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit. Notice this last phrase, which are God's. There are a lot of people who live their lives thinking, I'm my own man. That's what you think. If you're in Christ, you're not your own man anymore. You belong to Him. He paid the ultimate price for your deliverance, your salvation, your soundness, your wholeness, your healing. You belong to Him now. Now, here's a phrase that I want you to pay attention to. Notice verse 9. Don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit which is in you, which you have of God? And you are not your own. That word, your own, is not a very good translation. It's the Greek word hiatu, and it literally means you're not alone. So think about this. You have this body, and inside that body dwells the third person of the Godhead. The Holy Spirit has come to make His home. He has moved in with you and lives with you in this earthen, frail, subject to crack body. And so now we're instructed to glorify God in our bodies and in our spirits, which are His. So how do you glorify God? You know, when you go to a lot of cities, you travel, you'll find in many places that the most glorious facility in the city is the house of God. My wife and I took a trip to Europe several years ago, and we did some tours in some little villages in Italy and France and Monaco, and you found that the most glorious place in the town was the house of God, the church. And they would decorate it with the finest materials, marble from the Italian Alps. There was one cathedral that we toured in Pisa, Italy, where the ceiling was 24 karat solid gold. And the ceiling in this place was longer than a football field. The buildings were made out of marble. That's why they're still there. Over 1,000 years old, and they're still there. They're still magnificent. Now, The house of God, the temple of God, is not the building where we worship these four walls. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so we need to glorify God in our bodies. Now, remember last Sunday, I believe it was, I had a word that the Holy Spirit was building a glorious church, not brick by brick, but message by message, by praise. Are you with me? You're the church. You're the house of God. You're the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. You are the place within or wherein the Holy Spirit has made a decision to make His home. And so we need to take care of this body. Are you with me? Now, I remember many years ago hanging around some men of God who thought it was a sin to do a lot of different things. You know, even play sports and get involved in athletics. They thought it was sinful. It was worldly. And I thought, my goodness, you know, that can't be what the New Testament means. And so I found that these men, you know, thought it was wrong to do all of these things. I have one of my cousins. In fact, it was Jesse. Many years ago, Jesse, there was something going on at a skating rink. I say, hey, Jesse, you going to the skating rink? And he thought, can we? Is it okay? I said, popcorn's not sinful, bro. You know, nothing wrong with popcorn and nothing wrong with a skating rink. It's just what you do in life that really matters. Now, I'll be the first one to admit, there's some things you need to avoid, some places you need to stay away from. Are you with me? Because they're not conducive to protecting that anointing that's on the inside of you. And so I've always had a lot of fun with it. But I realized that many of these men didn't take care of themselves physically. So they, and some of them had this mindset, well, God delivered me from smoking, from drinking, and from midnight creeping. I'm just telling you the truth. But I'm going to eat. I'm going to eat myself to death. And that's literally what happened. They ate too much, didn't exercise, didn't take care of their bodies. And so most of these men are long gone, died years ago. Now, here's my point. There was a treasure on the inside of each and every one of them. And that treasure could still be blessing people today. But they're gone. Are you with me? They left early, way earlier than they should have. And so we only have one body. Take care of it. Are you with me? Now, we'll get a new one of these days. But for now, this is all you got. Take care of it. So we need to glorify God in our body and in our spirit, which are His. Now turn with me to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Let's expound upon this a little bit more. We're talking about details. We're talking about protecting the treasure that's on the inside of you. 1 Timothy chapter 4. And here Paul makes a reference to this, especially in the life of Timothy. Timothy at the time is pastoring the church at Ephesus, which was the largest church in the world at that time. And he says to this young man in 1 Timothy 4:15, neglect not the gift that's in you, which was given thee by prophecy and with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things, give yourself wholly to them, that your profiting may appear to all. Now, what is he saying? He's telling Timothy that there was a special deposit on the inside of him, and he needs to develop that gift. Many times the treasure that God has placed upon the inside of us goes unused. I don't know any other way to say it. Because it's never developed. It never grows. It lies dormant. Now, that happens for several reasons. The primary reason is, number one, many people don't realize they have a special treasure on the inside of them. And number two, they're never taught how to develop it. You know, they're taught to go to church to get your goosebumps on. And when you get your goosebumps on, you go home praising the Lord. But yet those talents and gifts and godly abilities remain undeveloped in your life. That's why God's Word is so important. Notice how the Williams translation renders these verses. He says this, stop neglecting the gift you received, which was given you through prophetic utterance when the elders laid hands upon you. Continue cultivating these things. Be devoted to them so that everybody will see your progress. Now, what Paul is referring to is there was a time in his ministry to Timothy that hands were laid on Timothy and the word of the Lord said something about his ministry in Ephesus and beyond. But now Paul is encouraging him many years later, stop neglecting those things. In other words, there were special deposits made on the inside of you, and the word of the Lord confirmed what God had placed on the inside of you. Quit neglecting it. How often have we neglected what we know resides on the inside? Now, many times you can neglect them because maybe associates of yours or friends or relatives or people that you know try to talk you out of it. Well, you know, I don't know about all that stuff. Somebody prophesied, it's probably hooey. You know what I mean? Don't neglect those things. Especially if you know that's what God is doing on the inside of you. Now, somebody can prophesy and it really doesn't mean anything because they missed the mark, but when they're right on, you know what I mean? We have a responsibility to cultivate those things. Now, many of you know me well enough to understand my perspective on this. I truly believe that in churches in the United States, all over the country, and all around the world, there are ministry gifts sitting in the pews that never develop. I can prove this to you. Now, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28, just write this down. You don't have to turn there. And God has set some in the church. First, apostles. These are the ones who lay foundations where the gospel's never been preached. Secondarily, prophets. They minister with revelation gifts, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits. You're not a prophet because you preach hard. You're not a prophetess because you're a female preacher. Are you with me? God has said in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers. There are people who are anointed to teach. Then he says this, after that, miracles. Now wait a minute. God has set in the church miracles, gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. But yet in many church circles, if you're called to preach, if you feel compelled to serve, you're either a pastor or an evangelist. And God can place in you a treasure that doesn't fit either one of those offices. I truly believe that there are people who are anointed with working of miracles and gifts of healings sitting in churches all over the city of Erie, all across the United States and all around the world. And those gifts never are expressed because they're never cultivated. There are some people that you will encounter in life, unless God moves, I'm sorry, they need working of miracles and gifts of healings. And they don't have to come through the pastor. Y'all with me? See, I'm not intimidated that way. I would love to say to somebody who has a certain condition, oh, go see so-and-so, he's anointed that way. Just tell him I said it's okay. He'll lay hands on you and get you healed. Amen? Because it's not about who gets the credit. We have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God, not of us. But God, my job as a pastor is to help you to cultivate that treasure that God has placed on the inside of you. And so we can't neglect it. Are you with me? There are things many of you have either had prophetic utterances or you just know on the inside of you that God has called you and has a desire for you to fulfill a certain purpose. Don't neglect that thing. Don't neglect it. Cultivate it. Develop it. Find opportunities to enhance that spiritual treasure so that you can do what God wants you to do. Amen? Amen. All right. Now, turn with me, if you would, to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Paul said, don't neglect the gift that's in you, which was given you by prophecy and the laying on of hands, but give yourself wholly to it, meditate upon it, that your profiting may appear to all or in all things. Now, it's important that we meditate upon these things. That means that we roll them over and over again on the inside of us, that we mutter those things. There are some things that the Holy Spirit spoke to me about ministry that I rehearse every day because that's what God has called me to do. I say it whether I feel like it, whether I don't. I say it whether the sun's out or it's raining. I say it whether it's hot or whether it's cold. I say it whether I have a good breakfast or don't have breakfast at all. Doesn't matter. I am consistent. Are you with me? If you're going to cultivate these things, you have to be consistent. And meditation has to be consistent. Notice 2 Timothy chapter 1. And we'll look at two verses. Paul again writing to this young man who's pastoring the church at Ephesus. He said, "Wherefore I put you in remembrance that you stir up the gift of God which is in you by the putting on of my hands. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Now, I grew up in coal mining country, southwestern Pennsylvania, about 40 miles south of Pittsburgh. And when I grew up in a little town called Whitsitt, PA, everybody in town either had an oil furnace or a coal furnace. Well, I can remember the coal furnaces. And a coal furnace does a great job of heating your home. The big problem is it gets too hot sometimes. We even had, my grandmother had, a coal stove. Y'all ever seen a coal stove? Y'all ever light a coal stove? See, many of us older folk, when I say older, I mean after 30, can identify with this. You like that? When you lit the stove, it had a cast iron block, and it had little round cast iron holes on the top of the stove. And so you got a little handle, and you put it under the lid, and it was heavy, cast iron, and you took it out, and there was the internal guts of the stove. And so it's not like a gas range or an electric range where you got all these workings, you just hit a button and leave it alone. You had to get some kindling, some small sticks, and put them in the bottom of that stove. You had to get a little newspaper, put them in the bottom of that stove. Then you put your coal on top of it. Then you had to light the fire. And then you put the lid back on and let that fire get hot. You had to wait for the stove to get hot. Now, it would get very hot. But after a while, that stove would cool down. And if you want to keep things hot, you had to go in there, and we had a poker. And you had to take a poker. Now, we had two sizes of pokers. We had a small poker for the stove in the kitchen. We had a big poker for the furnace downstairs. And so what you do is you take the poker and you stick it down in there and you stir up the embers. And what happens is when you stir it up, it gets hot again because there's a lot of stuff in there that didn't burn the first time, but it's just laying dormant and it's got ashes on it. So you had to stir that thing up. I used to hate getting up in the morning, especially in the wintertime when it was cold, and I knew what my mother wanted me to do, go down there and stir up the coal furnace. Because you had to walk downstairs and it was cold down there, all right? And, you know, we didn't have a lot of money, so we didn't have nice slippers and stuff. A lot of times you're walking down there in your socks or your bare feet. And when you got down to the basement where the furnace was, you had to open the door, you had to shake the grate, you had to pull the ashes out, and then you had to stoke the flame. Now, I remember we had a furnace that was a little more modern. You didn't have to use a literal long poker. It had a poker built in. All right, it had a little handle on the side of it, so you could shake this thing back and forth, and it would stir up the embers so that it would start heating again. Well, remember, we're talking about details, right? Now, for us as believers, many times in our own lives, we can allow that spiritual deposit to lie dormant, and there are times we need to stir things up. We need to stir it up. We need to get the thing hot again. Are you with me? And so that's what Paul is saying to Timothy. Stir up the gift that's in you, which was given you by prophecy and laying on of hands. Now, here's one thing I want you to know. I've taught a lot about laying on of hands. I've taught a lot about the anointing. When the anointing is transferred to somebody, here's the thing I want you to see. I don't believe that God transfers just a particular gift. I believe that He imparts grace, and grace is Jesus. He imparts grace, and grace is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit can manifest Himself many different ways. Now, He may manifest Himself consistently a certain way in your life, but don't limit Him to just that avenue. Because at any given moment, at any given time, He can do anything He wants to do. Amen? As long as you keep that treasure stirred up on the inside of you. Now, in the Williams translation, here's what it says. This is what Paul wrote to Timothy. For this reason, I now remind you to rekindle and keep burning the fire of the divine gift which came upon you when I laid hands on you. For the Spirit that God has given us does not impart timidity, but power and love and self-control. Now, we've often read this verse, God has not given us a spirit of fear. The word there is the Greek word deleia, and it literally means to be timid or to be, you'll like this, to be intimidated. And so what Paul is telling to Timothy by the Holy Spirit is, I laid hands on you and grace from the Holy Spirit came on you and it's in you. You need to stir that thing up and stop being intimidated. Many times you can be intimidated by the opinions of people. You can be intimidated by the way people do things. I was teaching at ECBI last Tuesday and I talked about a church that I visited in Youngstown, Ohio many, many years ago. And there were two churches by the same name. One was such and such chapel, Church of God in Christ, and then there was another one. Well, I thought I was going to the Church of God in Christ. Thought we were going to get happy and shout and have a good old time. Well, I ended up at the other one. I'd never been there before in my life, didn't know anybody in the church. Built a brand new facility, brand new church building, had about 300 people sitting there. I taught a simple message that morning on a God who answers prayer. And I sat down after the service was over, and they were doing their invitation to discipleship. They were a very liturgical church. Everything was done by the minute, and unless you understood the English language real well, you didn't know what an invitation to discipleship was. That was their altar call. Oh, okay, got it. And so I'm sitting there minding my own business, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said this. There's a woman here with a tumor in her left lung. She's about 3/4 of the way back on the left side. I want a healer this morning. Now listen to me, friend. What are you going to do with that? Are you going to be intimidated? You know, I was for a few moments. You know what I told the Lord? I'm sitting there. The pastor's sitting to my left. And I'm sitting there, and the Holy Ghost said that to me. And this is what I said. I whispered to the Lord, God, they don't believe that here. That's what I said. But they don't believe that here. And he wouldn't let me get rid of it. And so finally I knew I either am going to be intimidated and miss God or I'm going to obey the Lord. And so I turned to the pastor who's on my left and I got his attention and he leaned over to me. And I said, sir, I said, there's a woman here who's sick. And he knew I'd never been to his church before. And he said, what? I said, there's a woman here who's sick. He said, how do you know? I said, the Lord revealed it to me. And then he said very loudly, will you say that then? And I thought, oh, Lord. And so he stopped the organist. They had a beautiful pipe organ in this place. Stopped the organist. And I got up. I said, folks, I said, it was certainly a pleasure to minister to you this morning. But while I was sitting there, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. I said, there's a woman here. You've got a tumor in your left lung. I said, you're on the left side. God wants to heal you this morning. You could have heard a gnat walk down the aisle. You ever heard the expression, you could hear a pin drop? Nothing. It's dead silence. Nobody said, thank you, Jesus. Nobody said, hallelujah. They didn't even lift their hands in this church. And they're all looking at me. And I'm thinking, this is odd. This is really odd. And so I said it again. Dead silence. Nothing. And nobody moved. Nobody got up and came down. And I thought, oh, God, did I miss it? And so I said, well, it's been nice to minister to you this morning. I'm not here to put on a show. God bless you and have a good day. And I sat down. And after the service was over, people just grabbing my hand, when you coming back? Oh, that was a great message. We enjoyed it. When you coming back? And they were literally lined up. And I'm thinking, this is odd. And so I went to the pastor after the service, and he literally ran from me. He'd see me come, and he'd take off. Boom! Go down the aisle. And so I'd catch up to him, and boom! He'd run the other way. I'm thinking, what's going on here? So finally, I cornered him, and I said, sir, and I knew what happened at the end of that service had really shook him up. And I said, sir, I said, now, here's another opportunity to be timid or to be bold. I knew what the Lord had shared with me. I know His voice. And so I said, sir, I don't know what you've been taught, but this is what I said to the pastor, but the gifts of the Spirit have not passed away. And he looked at me and said, I know who she is. He said, I'm sorry for the way I acted. I didn't want her to think that I told you. He knew who she was. I could have walked down the aisle, probably put my hand on her shoulder, but I'm not going to do that. The Holy Spirit doesn't embarrass people. And he said, but I think I got the faith to handle it now. I said, well, praise the Lord. And I left. But what am I talking about? Being intimidated. How many times are we prompted by that treasure on the inside of us to say something or do something that'll be a blessing to somebody, and we're intimidated? Well, I don't know what they're going to think. Who cares? You with me? I don't know what they're going to think of me if I say this. I don't know what they're going to think of me if I do this. The only person you need to be concerned about is, what is he going to think of you? What is he going to say when you do what he's prompted you to do? Amen? And that's what Paul is saying to Timothy. Look, we laid hands on you, and there was a transfer of divine grace. There are gifts and special abilities on the inside of you. Quit neglecting them, stir them up, and don't be intimidated by people. Are you with me? Everybody say, I will not, be intimidated. We've got to protect that treasure on the inside of us. Now, I mentioned the word for spirit of fear, delia. It means timidity. It's from the root word delios, which literally means faithless. Now, here's a little tidbit for you. Here's a little key, a little nugget. It takes faith to not be intimidated. It takes faith to obey that treasure on the inside of you. And it'll take, many times you won't see how it's going to work. You won't understand how it's going to impact somebody. You don't have to have all that figured out. Just obey the Lord. You with me? Just do what God has asked you to do. He'll take care of the results. You just do what he asks you to do. Are you with me? And many times when the Lord impresses upon you to do something, to say something, to minister to somebody, you may not be able to see the end result. That's all right. Just trust God for the results. You just obey him. Do what he says do. He'll take care of the results. Amen? Amen. But many times, because of our human nature, we try to figure everything out. You know, well, if I do this, then he's probably going to think that, and so-and-so's going to... Don't worry about all that. You're worrying about stuff that has nothing to do with you. You just need to obey the Lord. Faith is acting on God's Word, whether it's written here in the book or whether it's spoken to you by the Holy Spirit on the inside. Amen? Amen. Details, details, details. If we want to experience the fullness of the grace of Jesus Christ, then we have to do two things. Number one, we've got to protect the treasure that's on the inside of us. Number two, we can't neglect it, and sometimes we just need to stir it up. Stir it up. Stoke the flame, you know. Get it hot again on the inside of you. How many of you have ever been passionate about something in life? See, we get passionate about a lot of things, don't we? You know, some people are passionate about food. Some people are passionate about athletics. Some people are passionate about sports, outdoors, you know. I'm passionate about a lot of things, but I have to focus on what God has gifted me to do. And there are other things that might be great, but if it's going to take away from that deposit that's on the inside of me, then I have to limit my exposure. Does that make sense to you? All right? So I'm not going to be passionate about the Food Network. You know, and I love food, love to eat, but I don't let food control me. Amen? I remember one time I went to New Orleans, and, you know, when I first married Peggy, she used to cook stuff real spicy, and it took me years to have her tone it down a little bit. Then I went to New Orleans one time, had some Cajun food. Oh, man, Joe, I was done. I loved it. It was great. And so I was having black pecan pie for lunch, and then I'd have two pieces for lunch, two pieces for dinner. Then I'd eat all this. Oh, I'd go out and have blackened fish. I still eat blackened fish today. But I fell in love with the food. I told Bishop Gavin one time I'd go to New Orleans just to eat. I would. Just to eat. But I started packing on the pounds. And so now I have to limit my exposure. Are you with me? To that good food that they have down in New Orleans. I still like it, but I'm not going to eat more than I should. Okay? Because it'll take away from the treasure that I have on the inside of me. Does everybody understand where I'm coming from this morning? All right, God has placed in you gifts, talents, and godly abilities, and we need to work with those things, nurture those things, develop those things so that God can flow through us and impact the world the way He desires to. Amen? Amen. And I'm not talking about through me, I'm talking about through you. All right? Through you. My job is to help you get there. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me, please? We want to minister to folk today.